But we'll hear from our preacher much later, maybe some other time. So let's continue with God empowering his people. This will be part three. God empowering his people. This will be the third part of that's been the topic that I have been using in this empowerment season. God empowering his people. This is the part three. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, where we've been referring to. It says what? Isaiah 40, 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth president, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Because I saw that when we were singing, Prophet Sidney just stood on the rail. He's so hungry and tired. So scripture is being fulfilled right before my eyes. Now even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But what? But they that wait upon the Lord, what will happen to them? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I've been saying this, and I love to say it again. Our God is in the business of empowering people. God loves to empower his children because it gives him glory. It takes glory in it. God likes when his children are weak so that he will give them strength to become strong. So that they will say, if not for God that strengthened me, if not for God that made me strong. In saying so, in declaring it, it gives him glory. But when God's children are already strong, they don't need another source of strength. Is that right? I know we are hungry, but sometimes learn to encourage the preacher. The prophet will tell you, I need your amen. I need your yes or no, Abby. So that he say, you always say, in saying yes, you open the door the more. Encourage the preacher through a response so that it will go deeper. Especially you people that are seated here. Eh? Praise God. Thank you. Don't worry, we'll soon eat. God loves to give power, strength to his children. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. If you are already strong, you don't need God. If you are sufficient in yourself, you don't need God. It is those that are weak that he delights in. He says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. And things that are not to bring to naught things that are. Praise the living God. So God is in the business of empowerment. And he will empower you this season in the name of Jesus. We sang a song that says, pass me not, O gentle Savior. I pray for you, if you can say amen, this season the Lord will visit you with power. Our God will empower you. Every area of your weakness, he shall empower you in Jesus' name. So when we have a program like this, we are in the right place at the right time. And allow me to say, even with the right people. Because God takes delight in empowering people. We heard the testimony of David. David said, it is you, O God, that has strengthened me. David said, through you, a bow of steel is broken by my hands. Through you, I can run over a fence. Through you, I can pursue after a troop. Those were David's testimony. So David was saying that I am a mighty warrior through God that strengthens me. Of course, he has so much to say in that regard. We have looked at it, humanly speaking, that it was not David's catapult that brought down Goliath. It's not possible. It was not. But there was a power behind David. It was that power he received from above that could pull down Goliath. David said, a lion came after my sheep and a bear, and I went after the lion and delivered my sheep from the lion and the bear and smote both the lion and the bear. A young boy. That when they looked at, they said, you're just a youth, a small boy. So it is not the power of David that killed the lion and the bear. David was empowered by God to kill the lion and the bear. Praise the living God. God empowers his people. One of these days, maybe as God permits in this empowerment program, there's another topic we'll look at. Power Rangers. Yeah? How many of us know Power Rangers? I watched Power Rangers as a boy. Especially Mighty Morphins. Go, go, Power Rangers. God has his own Power Rangers. Yes, God has his own Power Rangers, and we will see it. But that's for another day. So God is in the business of giving power, giving strength. He's in the business of making the weak strong. Praise the living God. And the last time I spoke, we looked at both for our spiritual life and for the abundant life. So let's look at the spiritual life. We spoke about sincerity the last time. How that without sincerity, God cannot help you in your spiritual life. We said that there is a testimony we all love, how it takes a beggar and make him a king. But there's also the part that it takes a sinner and makes him a saint. So Apostle Paul was speaking, he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom he, Apostle Paul, is chief. God is in the business of strengthening us spiritually. No man has the power to please God. Let's see what the psalmist said in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We always start with our spiritual life because it is the foundational empowerment we need. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. Can you see where sincerity comes in? And my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. That means your judgment is clear. Now, this is my emphasis. Behold, I was what? Shaping in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. Can you see it? Every man that is born of a woman, verse 5 of Psalm 51, is our condition. There is nothing in us to please God. When we talk of empowerment, if you are empowered in other area and you are not empowered to serve God, you have not received any empowerment. The real empowerment begins with a life pleasing before God. But what we are saying is no man has the power to please God. That's the truth. There is nothing in us. In another psalm, David said, I grew up speaking lies. We did not learn wickedness or evil from anywhere. If not, who taught a baby how to bite the mother's breast? He has finished sucking, just to show that I am wicked. Just to show that I am evil. And the baby will be looking at the mother. Who taught the baby that? Eh? Inborn, there is a nature in that child called sin. Nobody taught the baby that. There are many things that nobody taught us. We know that there is an area of wrong influence. But there are a lot of things that we grew up doing that nobody taught us. The first lie you told in life, nobody taught you. You must say, daddy will flog me. Mommy will flog me. If I do this thing, they will beat me. Then you lie. Nobody taught you. There is already something inside you. So the nature of man is contrary to God. When we are young children, boys and girls will play together, even naked. There is no sin in it. The same boy and girl, as they start growing, who taught the boy, the man, how to lust after a woman? There is already something in him that is contrary to God. Praise the living God.
That is to let you know the wretched condition of man. And but we have good news. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And let's read it from verse 9. We refer to it in the last episode of this topic. He said, and as Jesus passed from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? The response of Jesus is what we want to hear. But when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that be old need not a physician. They that are healthy, I'm still reading verse 12, they don't need a doctor, but they that are sick. Verse 13, go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I, Jesus, I have not come to call the righteous, but I have come to do what? Call sinners to repentance. And last week we said that if the ministry of Jesus will benefit you, you must be sincere with yourself. A man that doesn't know or does not agree that he's sick, he cannot go to the doctor and say, doctor, diagnose me. I don't know what is wrong with me. And we use an example of the words of faith that many of us say, it is my enemy that is sick. My enemy is having headache. Are you having headache? Ah, not me. My enemy is having headache. Who will go to the doctor? You or your enemy? When it's time to go to the doctor, why not say, let my enemy go to the doctor? Are you poor? Ah, my enemy is not poor. Your enemy is not poor. Okay, I wanted to give you money. I will not give you again. That's a no, no, give me the money. But you said it was your enemy that needed something, not you. So he said, in receiving power from God, power to transform us. In receiving power from God, we must be sincere. Are we together? We are born sinners. We are born with a sinful nature. But there is a power to change that nature. There is the power of transformation. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let's read it. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power. We know that scripture. And we always ask, what is the power that Jesus said you receive after the Holy Ghost has come upon you? It was not the power to preach. It was not the power to teach. It was not the power to heal the sick. Before Jesus went to the cross, they were healing the sick. It was not the power to cast out devils. Because before Jesus went to the cross, the Bible said he called his disciples and 70 others and gave them power to cast out devils and power to heal the sick. It was the power to conquer the sinful nature of man. That was the power. And he said, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, that power will come upon you. But we said, before he will give you this power, you must be first sincere with your own self and with God. Lord, this is my condition. This is my sinful condition. This is my sinful estate. I am a liar. I am a thief. I am lustful. Praise the living God. I am this, I am that. I am full of bitterness. I am full of anger. I cannot even relate well with people. I am full of myself. Anyone that is not sincere with God cannot be helped by God. Praise the living God. So in receiving this power, God demands first and foremost our sincerity. To be honest with our condition. To be sincere with our estate. To be honest with our condition. You know, this generation, we are quick to judge. Because nobody has caught you fornicating. Then you are saying you are not a fornicator. But in your heart, do you lust after women? Every time they pass, do you follow them in the spirit? Counting steps behind them. That should let you know that something is wrong. It's not until you end up in the bed with that person. But many of us are not sincere enough for God to deal with us. Praise the living God. The power is available, but he wants our sincerity. But there's an area I want to go to today. Not only must we be sincere. Can we read that Matthew chapter 9 verse 12 again? Not only must we be sincere. Verse 13. Go to verse 13. There is something that Jesus said and we must follow his words. He says, go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to what? Sinners to what? We must also repent. Now, there is a difference between repentance and conversion. Repentance is a change of mind. Conversion is a change of heart, a change of nature. Conversion is from God, but repentance is from man. Are you hearing me? We are trying to build, receive power for our spiritual life. Conversion is a work that God does. He takes a sinner and makes him a saint. That's the work of God. But repentance must proceed from man. So Jesus said, I have come to call sinners to repentance. Because if you don't repent, if the sinner doesn't repent, the sinner cannot be transformed. The sinner cannot be converted. So repentance is not something we push to God. He has already come to call us to repentance. Repentance must proceed from us. Sincerity is to lead you to a change of mind. Come, oh, truly, oh, this is my way. If I continue like this, this is the end. This is my weakness. Then a change of mind to start thinking, God doesn't want me this way. When you truly repent, you are not going to be happy with that condition. Praise the living God. The power will convert. But before we will receive that conversion power, that transforming power, God demands our repentance. Let the fornicator now know that fornicator is sinful. It's bad. God doesn't like it. Therefore, I will change my mind towards it. Do I used to enjoy it before? No. Because God does not want it for me. I'm no longer going to indulge in it. That is repentance. A change of mind. Knowing the effects of what you are doing and changing your mind concerning it. Are we together? We want the power of transformation, but as our mind be changed, somebody that is not yet seeing the evil in what he's doing, that person is not yet ready for God to convert him. If we talk of pride, for instance, if you still see pride as a good thing, because the world teaches to be proud, it is Christianity that teaches to be humble. The world, people even flaunt, pride is a good thing in the world. That's why in among the works of the Bible says the pride of life. So in repenting, your mind must change. In the world, if I am this, I must walk tall. The world will even tell you, even if you don't, you are not who you are, pretend to be who you are not so that you have some small ego and some small class, some small steez, as the saying goes. Repentance demands that I will not follow the way of the world. Now, let me think the thought of Christ. The world wants me to go like this, chest out and tall. Walking tall. The world wants me to, you're on top of the world, you know. But Christ wants me to go this way. Repentance demands changing my mind and thinking the thought of Christ. Until our own mind is changed, our hearts will not be changed. God's work is to change our hearts. He will convert us through his power, what we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But before he will convert us, we must repent. We must repent. Our minds must be changed. We must no longer find pleasure in what is sinful. We must have a rethink. It is repentance that makes us cry to God, Father, change me. But a man or a woman that has not repented shouldn't expect any power of conversion from above. So repentance means washing away your hands and stopping what you can stop now. There are many of us that, of course, the end game of sincerity is repentance. Sincerity is supposed to lead you to repentance. There are many of us that are just not sincere with ourselves. So we keep pushing. We keep pushing it to God. Father, I've been asking for this. I've been asking for change now. So people don't even know that they have a problem. If you don't know you are sick, of what benefit is a doctor to you? Praise the living God. So brethren, this year is promising. And God is willing to release spiritual power upon us. But let's have a change of mind. Repentance demands that you, that you have not been serious with spiritual things, start rethinking. Change your mind. Now start thinking towards. That is when God sees you and says, oh yes, this person needs help. This person cannot achieve this spiritual feat by himself, by herself. Now, let me send forth a helping hand. He will send a comforter. So let everybody know that desires spiritual empowerment, that our sincerity and our repentance is necessary. Without repentance, God will not help us. Part of repentance is cutting off some things that you know leads you into sin. Repentance means that if I go out with my friends to a very worldly place and it leads me into sin, now that I've repented, I have to stop going with them. Repentance means I have to cut off from people I need to cut off from. Repentance means I may need to do away with some worldly fashions I've been holding on to. If you don't repent, God will not help you. Brethren, we need repentance. No wonder when Apostle Paul was giving the formula for salvation, he said what? What was the first thing he said? Repent. Is even necessary before water baptism. If I ask everybody that is connected to us now, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? Everybody will say yes now. Because that's what we say. But if I ask everybody, have you repented? Many of us have not yet repented. Or some will say we have not repented fully. Let's repent though. Let's repent. Repent from everything you do. Have a change of mind. What does God want from you? That should be what fuels your heart. Praise the living God. We need to. Repentance is necessary. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Why am I saying repentance, repentance, repentance? Repentance is not conversion, but it is necessary before conversion. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But what? I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you are converted, strengthen. This is Peter that has been following the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. He was not yet converted, but of course, he had repented. My emphasis today is that you need to repent before he will convert you. Repentance is that state of brokenness we get to. Where we are, our heart is ready to do God's will. Not the way we are still struggling with some people. Dress fine. Stop this, do that. Can I tell you the truth? Many of us in Bride Assembly have not repented. Stop pushing. That's why June camp will come. Shebi Daddy said it yesterday. Reasons why people fall under anointing. He gave different reasons. He gave about 4. He said one of it is that some people are stubborn. They've not allowed God to have their way. You follow Jesus. You have identified with Jesus. You have even been baptized in his name. The funny thing is, a grace of his might even be upon you, but you have not repented. And every time we will start, minister will come and lay hand on them in June camp. You have been falling under anointing all the time. Gift is not following. The same pattern. It might be God trying to knock at the door of your heart saying, let me in. We need to repent, brethren. Let's stop being hypocritical Christians. Let's stop doing the things we know that are unbecoming of Christians. Let's change our mind from those things. Like I said, to wear long skirts, you don't need the Holy Ghost. No. If not, the Muslim sisters that cover their whole body, they have the Holy Ghost then. There are many things that we push aside. Say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost will come and give us power. But let's repent. To dress modestly does not, you don't, I'm saying it, it's not by Holy Ghost baptism to dress modestly. If not, everybody in deeper life has Holy Ghost. If not, every Muslim, real Muslim that covers from head to toe, if not, they all have the Holy Ghost. So you see that many of the things that some of us are suffering from is lack of repentance. And even for those who are converted, there's also the thing we call backsliding. If truly you have received the Holy Ghost, but you have backslided one way or the other, a good spiritual exercise you used to do before, you no longer do it. What you need now is what? Repentance. Praise the living God. Like the children of Israel in the book of Zechariah. That should be Zechariah 9. They were fasting, they were praying. God said, no, you people should repent first. As he's talking to us today. Repent first. Okay. This is Zechariah 9. Zechariah 7, I think. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7 from verse 8. It says, and the word of the Lord came. From verse 4. Let's take it from verse 4. Zechariah chapter 7 from verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fasted and mourned, like we're fasting now, in the fifth and seventh month, our own is in the first month and in the sixth month, January and June, even though 70 years, did you at all fast unto me, even to me? So it's not every fast that God will accept. That some of us, his hunger strike we are doing, unless we repent this afternoon, this evening rather. When you eat, when you drink, did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord had cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your hearts. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. If you read on and on, he started calling them to repentance. This fast will not profit you if you don't repent. You have only gone on an exercise to lose weight. This fast will not profit you if you don't repent from your sins. Many of us are still held in one position. We can't advance in life as a result of some characters we need to repent from. Brethren, if you are not conquered within, nothing can conquer you from outside. If you overcome inside, you can overcome outside. Repent of your sins. Let somebody that is fasting also sit down and think, come, oh, I need to change my ways. If not, this year will just continue like previous years. Let's think deep. The world is enough for the wise. Now that's for our spiritual life. Another area I'm going to, another source of empowerment that God gives us, is what Daddy has been emphasizing for a long time now, the word of knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, one of the gifts of the Spirit there is what? The word of knowledge. That's the ability to hear from God, ability to know. It says the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So the word of knowledge is the ability to know. It is a spiritual gift that God gives his children. Our pastor has taught us that it manifests through four ways: audible voice, vision, dream, or inspiration. Brethren, we may not all see visions or hear audible voices. I don't know how many times I've ever seen a vision in my life. I'm telling you the truth as a pastor. But we all must dream. Oh. If you know they see vision, if you know they hear voice, I beg, make sure say they dream. It's very necessary. Oh. The word of knowledge is power on its own. The gift of the word of knowledge is a source of empowerment. Many things that many of us suffer, if that gift is operative in our lives, we would have received knowledge to know and to avoid it. Sir Joy, when I was your colleague in the office, one certain time, there was a sister that I had an issue with, insulted me one way. And then I opened my mouth, I told you, and I said, and God warned me in the dream to stay away from her. This is several years ago. I don't know if you recall. You recall? That's just by the way. Up to the extent of God telling you, avoid this person. This person will bring you into trouble. When it happened, and I said, and I had a dream that I should stay away from this person. Because the insult pained me to my bone marrows. I was just insulted for no reason. I was pre-warned, please avoid this person. Does God care about us up to that level? Yes, he does. At the end of it, I was the one that was looking like a fool. Did God not tell me? Now, the problem with some of us is you think dream is common. Dream is not common. These prophets, do you know that many of them, they hold on to their dream more than their visions? I think I've heard Prophet Joseph mention that before, Sister Marachi. They said, when they see something in the dream, they take it more serious than the vision they see. Because to them, seeing vision is nothing now. So whenever they have a dream, it is more important. One of them, I don't know who in particular, said, if God wants to send a very serious message to them, it is more through a dream. Even you, Prophet Sidney. Thank you. God speaks to his children. Some of us, the channel has been blocked, but I believe that even this evening, God will open that channel in Jesus' name. We need the gift of the word of knowledge. God directs our path. He can tell you which vehicle not to enter when you want to travel. He can tell you as a student which career, which course to read. Is it in the area of marriage? I've shared my own testimony several times. I said even in the choice of wife, God spoke to me. It was through a dream. So we need this gift to be very functional in our lives. It is one of the empowerments we need. Such that as the year is starting now, you should receive revelations from God about the year 2025. Personal ones. Directions, promises, should come from God. Whether you see it in a vision, it tells you audibly, or at least through a dream. Even an inspiration. But we see, if the way many of us who are members of the church, old members, the way many of us still disturb our prophets and make them as if it is because of you that God brought them into the ministry, it shows that many of us are not yet spiritually empowered. There is the part of the prophets. But simple things that you should be able to receive from above, you will go and be disturbing Prophet Benjamin, Prophet Sidney. Some people cannot even drink water without calling the prophet. Prophet Sidney, please, should I drink this water? Prophet Benjamin, should I eat this food? But you are connected to God. They have their role. What God will reveal through them should be something more complex. God will still use them to speak to us. That's why he placed them in the church. Don't get me wrong. God will still use them to speak to us. Up to December, Prophet Benjamin gave me a message during the camp. Did you not? When we were in the office, you told me what God showed you. God will still use them to speak to us. That's a fact. But primarily, as a child of God, your father should be able to speak to you without any other person. And not this once in a while speech. Is it once in a while that the prophet sees visions? No. Not once in a while. So at every moment you need it, you should be able to hear from God. And not until you go to camp. Not until you go to camp and mountain, you have fasted and prayed. Then that's when you see one small dream. And you come and say, God speak to you. Up till last night, I still had dreams. Serious ones. I woke up, I had to tell my wife, please quickly help me record this down. This is what I saw. The ones I saw 2 weeks ago are already happening in my life. So when I saw this one, I say, hey. In fact, it woke me up in the midnight. I had to go into prayers because it was not something I wanted to happen. A very clear message. It's nothing special. It's the grace that should work upon each one of us. Now, if I should not come into the fellowship now, this is where the prophet should come in. He should go deeper and tell me, see this, see that, see this. I will know, oh yes, I've already seen it in a summary. I've seen a part of it. Then I can even say, God is really using this brother, speaking through him. Why some of us still doubt the prophet in this church is because you too, you don't hear from God. If God has spoken to you, then when they come and tell you something, you know, yes, now this is what God showed me in a dream. We need that power. It's a power. We need it. That God will tell you, leave this house. I heard the testimony of a sister in one of Pastor's sermons where he said that they went to one of the states for a wedding. And then part of the bridal train, she had a dream that they were coming to rob in that house, that she should leave. And sharp girl, sharp, she exited that place. And that night, they robbed and raped all the women in that place. I heard the testimony. But how did God deliver her? Many of you don't know that what you call dream is very powerful. Let's see something in the Bible. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. We need word of knowledge. We need that. And I pray that from this moment it shall manifest more in our lives in Jesus' name. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, see Joseph now, he wants to make a serious decision. Joseph wants to make a vital decision, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. He had concluded, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, what happened? Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him where? Such an important decision. You know, Angel Gabriel went physically to Mary. That one was not a dream. But yet, in the case of Joseph, he went through a dream. Let's read it. While he thought on this is what happened, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. If you see visions and hear voices, in fact, your own is, you are more blessed. But at least, let us strive to dream. Saying, Joseph, that son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is what? Is of the Holy Ghost. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 2. You could see what the angel did. Gave him instructions in a dream. In a dream. Brother, sister, what will happen to you when all the prophets are on the mountain for 1 week? And their phones are off. And they are praying to God. How will you hear from God? You got to meet them on the mountain. Power. Word of knowledge. Matthew chapter 2 from verse 12. Let's read it. This is the story of the wise men. After they left Herod, and the star appeared, they saw baby Jesus. Let's read verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now see verse 12. And being warned of God in a... Oh, you're not reading with me. Being warned of God in a... So everything about the salvation of baby Jesus, how he was... His safety was given through dreams. God told them in a dream, don't go back to Herod. And they went their way. Read on. Go to verse 19. They say Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. Let's take it from verse 19 now. Okay, go back. Sorry. Go back to verse 15. Matthew chapter 2. The wise men were warned in a dream. Let's read on. Verse 13. Sorry. I want you to follow the story. Verse 13. And when they were departed, this is where I'm looking for. Behold, after the wise men left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in what? Saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, go into Egypt, be there until I bring the word. If Joseph has said, it's just a dream now, common dream. Your dream should not be common as a Christian. If your dream is common, that means you the dream. That means God speaks to you, but that means the channel is there. Why is it being common? That means something else is making it common. Whether you are too carnal, so you dream only carnal things, that doesn't make sense. Your dream should not be common. Your dream should not be common. One of the grace manifesting on me now as a pastor is that I will dream about somebody's problem. I will see a brother or sister in the dream. Whatever they are going through. And when I call them in the morning, or they themselves will be the ones to come and meet me. In fact, there's a funny one. My sister is not here today. I saw her in a dream. I saw something about her white garment and something. So I woke up. I said, something is wrong here. Then the following Friday, she called me that she needed prayer for her son. The son is sick. While praying for the son, I looked at her. I said, have you ever worshipped in a white garment church before? She said, yes. Now she went inside the vision. God is speaking to me there. It was a dream I had. And then, okay, a spirit is following you from this place. Open your hands. Just one little pronouncement and anointing her hand. If you see the way the power of God walked upon her. But I saw it in a dream. Now she would have thought, Prophet Benjamin has laid hand on you. I didn't receive it there. No. In praying for people, we receive inspirations. Inspirations are things, it happens sharp. Inspirations don't take time. That one is true. But this came in a dream. And several other persons, that has been going on. Okay, Stajoy is here. The day before you delivered, please use the mic and talk. What happened?
You told me you had a dream where I was carrying.
Yet, it was not the due date given. The date was still far.
Yes.
The date, I said, I saw a baby on your tummy. I saw you delivered though. You said amen, this and that. The following day, the next message you received was she had delivered. Am I not a prophet? But everybody, every child of God should be the prophet of your own self. It is nothing special. It is what should be operative in our lives. I'm telling you, even up to the extent of when you are doing wrong, sometimes some of us don't, why some people continue misbehaving is that you don't have somebody to tell you what you are doing is wrong. Sometimes in a dream, an angel can appear to you as a man and tell you, see what you are doing. Don't you think it's wrong? We need this gift to manifest. You can't go wrong when this gift is manifesting. And even you that you say yes is manifesting, it can manifest more. I want to get to the level that every time I close my eyes to sleep, let me dream dreams. Not malaria dreams, not common dreams, but dreams that you can bet your soul on and say, this is certain, this is sure. Praise the living God. Up to the extent of sermons to preach. I'm telling you, in a dream. So you can see how God delivered Jesus through a dream. Even when they go to Egypt and they heard that Herod was dead, coming back, Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. Why will God? So don't commonize dreams. Dreams are not common. If your dreams are common, pray, change it. Let it not become common. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. Dreams should not be common. One of the prophecies that is still fulfilling in our generation. From the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7. He received it through a dream. Daniel 7 verse 1. Daniel chapter 7 verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a... That means God can tell you things about your life and family through a dream. Are we together? God can reveal the source of your problem through a dream. What I'm emphasizing this evening is that in being empowered, we need the gift of the word of knowledge. And you know what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 12 verse 6? Let's read Numbers chapter 12 verse 6. He said, "Hear now," and he said, "Hear now my words." This is God speaking. "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a..." You see why I say that we are supposed to be the prophet of our personal lives. The word of knowledge must manifest in our lives. We need it for directions, for our protections, from instructions from above. We need the gift of the word of knowledge. Some things that seem difficult can just come. Go and do this in a dream, and that will settle it. Are we together, brethren? Joseph received his destiny through a dream. He got to know that he was destined to be great. Genesis 37 verse 5, through a dream. Jacob was directed by God and instructed to leave Laban through a dream. Let's read that of Jacob. Genesis 31 verse 10 and 11. Genesis 31 verse 10 and 11. So dreams are not secondary. They are a means to hear from God. "It came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled." Verse 11. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I." And God started conversing with Jacob. Another time in Genesis 28, the Bible said he put his pillow to sleep, put a stone for his pillow, and in a dream, he saw the heavenly vision that he saw. Are we together, brethren? The emphasis is, as a child of God, you must have a channel to hear from God. That is what I'm saying. Whether through dreams, whether through visions, whether through audible voices, or at least through dreams, you must hear from God. If you don't see visions or hear audible voices, then you must see, you must dream dreams. Help me ask your neighbor, do you dream? And if you say you don't dream, and yet you don't see vision or hear voices, and don't even receive inspirations that you have confirmed, that yes, this is, anytime I have this thought, this is God speaking, then you need to truly be empowered. You must dream dreams, so it's necessary. It is part of the source of our power. If you don't hear from God, you are in darkness. Sometimes things will happen in your house, maybe in the neighborhood you live. It is through a revelation that God will reveal it to you, that see what is going on, pray about it. Sometimes it might come and say, don't go out. And of course, every bad dream you see is a prayer point. And every good dream you see should be claimed also through prayer. Praise the living God. So one of the sources of the power we need, one of the power we need rather, this period, is the ability to hear from God. And I pray that this season, the Lord himself will give us that grace in the name of Jesus. And thirdly, I'm dropping just 3 points before we come and eat the bread and drink the wine. Giving to the poor and the needy is a source of empowerment. Psalm 41 verse 1. Psalm 41 verse 1. Psalm 41 from verse 1. Bear with us. He says what? "Blessed is he that considers the poor." What would the Lord do? When I read this scripture, okay, let's read to verse 3. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. You know, he didn't even say the Lord will give him back money. He said the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Verse 2, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Verse 3, finally. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. That will make all his bed in his sickness. Just because he did what? He considered the poor. When we say giving to the poor, the blessing in return might not necessarily be a financial blessing. Whatever you are doing this year, let part of your pursuit this year, your goals rather, be to give the poor and needy. Someone might be needy, not poor. You understand me? Maybe somebody that is well to do, but in need in a particular period of a particular thing. That's different. You must help the poor and needy if you want God to help you back. And brethren, one big excuse that we always give, many of us, in not helping the poor and the needy, is that for us, our resources are not sufficient for ourselves. But you can't keep giving that excuse. Why? You cannot keep giving that excuse. There's another scripture I love. It says, blessed is he that giveth of his bread to the poor. Is it Proverbs 28:20? I can't get that scripture now. I just remembered it. He said he has given of his bread to the poor. Your bread is what you have to eat. Is that not it? You are not giving of what you have in the store. You are giving of what you have. Okay? Yeah, 22:9. Thank you very much. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. He did not say he that has abundance and give out of it. Please, you are still reading. I've not finished. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. Why? For he giveth of his bread. You know why the emphasis is there? That bread is what he needs for his own sustenance. May God make us true givers. If you give only when you have in abundance, you are not yet a bountiful giver. You are giving out of convenience. We must give sacrificially. Give of your bread. That's what the Bible says. That is the kind of giving that attracts blessings back. Not that if you have in excess and also give. Of course, say if you have two, give your brother one. That's what the scripture says. That also attracts blessings. But people say we should even go so that we procure our blessings. We will procure our blessings without any doubt. You that say you don't have excess to give, start from what you have. When you see somebody that you are better than and that is in need, learn to give. Helping the poor and the needy is a source of power. It procures blessings for the person. Proverbs 19 verse 17. Why do we need to say this? So that this year, some people will put away the garment of stinginess. May you not wear the garment of stinginess this year in Jesus' name. He that hath pity upon the poor, what does he do? And that which he has given, will he pay him back? The stock market may crash. Your Bitcoin may fail you. Your business may collapse. But the man that helps the poor will always have, because he's lending to the Lord. And he says, certainly God will pay him back what he has given. Brethren, this is a church preaching love. Let us put on the garment of generosity this year. Of course, our daddy in the Lord is always saying it. That it's in season like this that Bambia has to start praising God. Praising the Lord. Bambia has to be saying it in their hearts now. Preach on, preach on. Yes, say it. So that after this service, I'll come and if I ask 10 people, I've not eaten. And if 10 people give me 1,000, I'll not only eat normally, I'll go to Mega Chicken and eat. Eh? And yet the person that gave me the 1,000, maybe it's bread and granuts like Brother Frank that we used to break. Praise the living God. No. You must be wise also. People come and take advantage of our liberty as Christians. We must be wise. But I'm even saying we that you know somebody is in need. You know this person is a brother, a sister in the Lord, or anywhere. The person that wears uniform to church every day. Wears uniform to church. You know he needs clothes. You don't need for him to come and ask of you, please, I need this. A brother has graduated from school, is not working, he's looking for a job everywhere, has not met with, let me use the word, good luck yet. And he's striving, he's doing all he can. And he meets you, brother, I've not eaten this. You know he's in need, help him. You know she's in need, help her. Help her. That's what we are saying. God doesn't joke with such. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, we will reap if we faint not. So far we can. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. But he now went further. He says, especially unto them that have the household of faith. Brethren, we need it. Don't let your hand be like this year. You know the meaning of this. What do we call it? Super glue. Akagom. Let your hand be like this. Let your hand be like, let your hand be what? Be like this. And they said, the hand that gives is always what? On top. So brethren, empowerment. Pastor Gabriel had a dream when we started empowerment. That God said, what we need is what? Understanding. God will do his part and give us all the anointing we need. But there are also life principles that we must start imbibing. Are we together, brethren? One of it is be a giver this year. Be a giver this year. Don't. And when we talk about giving, I must also add this part. Also give, not just to the poor and the needy. Permit me to say this also. Give unto God. I didn't say servants of God, though. Before you say, I am asking you to come and sow. Prophet Joseph, God told you to change your offering last year and gave you a minimal amount that you should give every service day. Since you started, what happened? Everything changed. Prophet Jayola, you are confirming it too for yourself. Please, help me give them the mic. Let's hear from them. Because we were traveling, Prophet Joseph and I were traveling that day, and he mentioned his sister Joy was there too. You, I think Prophetess Joy, right? I think you two had the same revelation. So all of us now started talking.
It's true.
You too, Prophet Jayola.
Yes. Since last year.
And the things changed when you started doing it.
By the grace of God.
Thank you, sir. When Prophet Joseph mentioned this, I told him, I said, okay, see now, it was thus says the Lord. My own came by inspiration. And I started doing it. And brothers and sisters, I can tell you, I have not lacked. That's the truth. Don't look at me as if I'm a big man. No. I'm not though. Brother Kingsley was introducing me in his group one day. We were raising prayer points. And I said, you see, our pastor here is a rich man. I say, anybody that wants to give me an offering will not say, he's rich. No. But I'm telling you the truth. I'm not talking about giving even to a man of God. I'm saying give unto God. If you heard the teaching of Daddy yesterday about first fruit, tithe, and offering. Offering is a demand. Tithe rather is a demand. Offering is free will. Do you know where your heart is reflected the most is in offering? Tithe, you are obeying a commandment. Where you can really say I give to God is the free will offering. Let's see what David said. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. David was going to give God an offering. Hear what he said. Sometimes then you now wonder why God blesses some people. And the king said unto Aaron, nay. You remember what happened? If you know the story, you can read from verse 1. God, the angel told him, go and get that place and offer, make it, build an altar and offer sacrifice. And he went there, being a king. The owner of the place wanted to give it to him for free. But hear what the king said. He said unto Aruno, nay, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord of God, or the Lord my God, of that which does not cost me nothing. See how the men of old served God. Now, which law was he obeying? Before they'll tell you his old covenant under the law of Moses. There was no law that says so. It was about revelation, serving God. If you believe God is a great king, this is how God should be honored. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 says so. Brethren, we are saying all this so that this year there could be a change. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. Now, this one has nothing to do with law of Moses. This book of Proverbs is talking about wisdom. Don't let these modern preachers. There are some things that some of them say that makes it very clear that truly they are not connected to God. They are just pursuing an agenda. If God is your source, if God is the one you depend on for your prosperity and breakthrough, brother and sister, give both unto the poor and the needy and also give to God. God desires it. He glorifies God. So brethren, let these few points, these things we keep saying every evening, let them equip us. Let them empower us for this year, 2025. I want to appeal to a very stingy person. All these years you have been stingy. Was there a change? So why not change this year and be generous so that maybe you can experience a new life? Eh? At least give it a try this year. Let's see how far. Let's see how far it will take you. And may the Lord empower us in Jesus' name. Let's be on our feet. You are going to tell the Lord, Father, give me the power to do your will. We'll take a few prayers, most especially about the gift of the word of knowledge in our lives. Somebody that has not been dreaming, or your dream has not been clear. You see a man, body of man, head of dog, hand of goats with wings. Then you are wondering, what did I see in my dream? Don't worry, after this evening, your dreams shall be clear in Jesus' name.